One of the doctors told me, yes, you have some virus in your body, and this virus can even be dangerous, but it's not dangerous as your feelings. When the terrorist broke our door and said, God, I will save Shabbat, I will save Shabbat, I will save Shabbat. So I promise I have to do it.
that was the first thing that came to your mind, Shabbat?
Yes, yes.
Ever wonder the quickest way to catch a terrorist? Meet Yatar, the force safeguarding Israel with lightning-fast tactical ATVs. The Volunteer Counterterrorism Unit is turning the tide in border security and emergency response. Yatar's unique tactical ATVs are designed to respond swiftly to emergencies, reaching off-road locations quickly and serving as the first responders in critical situations such as terrorist attacks, smuggling, and uprisings. They are a mission-driven organization comprised of highly trained volunteer soldiers, including former IDF combat soldiers and counter-terrorism experts. These soldiers undergo a rigorous selection process to join the unit. On October 7th, they lost four soldiers who died defending the kibbutzim and had two ATVs destroyed. Since that day, Yatar has been on the front lines, operating their specialized ATVs inside Gaza, conducting combat operations, stealthily transporting special forces, placing explosives in key points, and evacuating wounded soldiers. After revamping a portion of their fleet into medical evacuation ATVs, they have saved over 180 wounded soldiers from inside Gaza. Though many of their activities continue to be classified, their reach doesn't stop there. Yatar also has forces deployed in the Judea and Samaria areas, patrolling and responding to threats. With tensions rising in Lebanon, the IDF has dispatched a part of their unit to the northern border where they remain ready for any escalation. But Yatar can't do it alone. They urgently need your support to expand the security forces. As a 501c3 nonprofit organization, your generous donation enables them to continue saving lives. With 12 soldiers in need of gear and 8 ATVs required, your donation can make a difference. Each soldier costs $2,500 to equip, and each ATV is $85,000. Partner with Yatar and make an impact in Israel today. You can donate at pay.banquet.com. You'll see the link in our podcast notes. And there is a lot more info on yatarisrael.org. So go to the link in our podcast notes, and whatever you donate is going to make a big difference. Thank you, Yatar, for being a part of this very, very meaningful, uplifting, inspiring conversation with the hope of a better tomorrow for Eretz Israel. And thank you for all you do. Hi, I'm Rivka.
And I'm Ida. Welcome to From the Inside Out, now a global community that keeps growing every day thanks to each and every one of you.
Right here is where you'll discover life-changing insights from some of the world's greatest thinkers, leaders, and our everyday heroes.
We believe that meaningful change comes from taking inspiration and turning it into action.
In fact, that's how this podcast was created, in an Uber, where we were both inspired by each other's life experiences and how much we could learn from each other.
We're so glad you've joined our conversation today. The path to meaningful change starts right here, right now.
From the inside out.
Welcome back. So Rivka and I were in Arizona a few weeks ago, and we were brought out there to interview Sapir Cohen, who was held hostage in Gaza. She was in the tunnels, going from one place to another, not knowing if she was going to make it out alive. And she did make it out alive, thank God. And she came out to Arizona to speak for the Beth Tefila Conference, a gala in support of Israel. And we were so grateful and honored to be there, to have been chosen to be there to interview her. And at the time, we weren't sure if the conversation and her speech was going to be recorded. And thanks to Rabbi and Rebbetzin Alush, Pinchas and Esther Alush from Arizona, we were able to get not only an audio recording, but a video recording as well, not only of our interview with her, but also of her speech, which was inspirational and life-changing for the many hundreds of people who showed up that evening and the next morning at the Seoul conference. So we're grateful to be able to bring this conversation to you. Rivka, I know that you were so inspired as well.
Yes, I was not expecting to be so blown away by Sapir, by her experiences, her faith in Hashem, her courage, her bravery, her kindness. I was so nervous beforehand about being sensitive to her, also in feeling so heavy and sad by her experience. But I really had that feeling of holding space for both pain and inspiration and joy. You'll see there are three parts to this interview. There's Sapir talking, then there's us interviewing her at the night gala, and then we interviewed her the next day. And then after the night interview, there was a group of soldiers that were brought out from Israel. They were in Gaza, and they're also musicians. And they were singing all these beautiful songs about Israel, and you could see the pain in their eyes as they're singing, but you could also feel the joy. And then we pulled Sapir in to dance with us, and it just was so beautiful, dancing with a miracle, but also feeling the pain at the same time, and that you can hold space for both. You'll hear in this interview, but a couple of things that stand out to me is as soon as she got to Gaza, she felt empowered by Hashem, and she felt she had a mission to fulfill in helping the other hostages that were there. That was such a powerful message for me and all the people listening. And when you listen now, to know that you can be in a dark place, yet listening to Sapir, you know that it's possible to be able to be there for somebody else as well, and that that can actually help you see the light at the end of the tunnel. So we want to thank Hashem for bringing Sapir home, and we ask Hashem to do the same for the remaining hostages, including Sapir's boyfriend, Alexander Sasha Ben Lena Leia, and we should do an act of goodness and kindness in his honor and all the hostages to bring them home.
And so here it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we honor a true heroine of our nation, a woman who embodies the strength and resilience of Israel. Please join me in welcoming Sapir Cohen.
Hello, everyone. I'm so happy and exciting to see you. My name is Sapir Cohen. I was in captivity 55 days. My story begins 6 months ago. I felt that something very bad will happen to me. I didn't know why I feel like that, because there is no reason for it. During the time, I felt that maybe I have a very bad illness in my body and I just need to discover it. I decided to go to many doctors and I did all the possible tests. One of the doctors told me, yes, you have some virus in your body and this virus can even be dangerous, but it's not dangerous as your feelings. I didn't believe this doctor, and for the first time in my life, I decided to pray. I was looking for a prayer for complete recovery, and one day a prayer appeared in my Instagram. It was a chapter in Tehillim, and they wrote there that if you read it for 30 days, you will be healthy and miracles will happen to you. So I say, it sounds like a great deal. I want it. From that day, I say this prayer every day, 30 days. The last day was the October 7. After 2 weeks, I remember the prayer, and it's very surprised me because all my life I needed to cheat in the history exams because I couldn't remember. And now I remember even words that I don't understand their meaning. On the last week, the kidnapping week. I say this prayer, and it was the first time that I noticed to the words that I'm saying. And this prayer is not related to medicine. It's related to war, and God save me from these enemies. And I say, why I pray this? It's not what I wanted. From which war I praying to be saved? On October 7, I understood the meaning of my prayer. Me and my boyfriend Sasha, we planned to visit his parents in Kibbutz Nir Oz to celebrate Simchat Torah. In that weekend, Sasha doesn't want to come, and it was very strange because every time he told me, when I say to my parents that I come, I never cancel because it made hurt my mother. But in that weekend, he say, I don't want to go, and I don't know why. Unfortunately, I convinced him, and we arrived to the kibbutz. On Saturday, I woke up at six at morning because of the bombs. It was a barrage of rockets, very strong. It was like boom, 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 boom. We were in guest room with no shelter, and we couldn't find even 20 seconds of silence to run to the parents' house to enter to the shelter. So I said to Sasha, I can't wait to explode here. So maybe we can lie down near the wall. It feels more safe. And we lying down near the wall, maybe an hour of bombs. After an hour, we get a message from his mother, and the message is, there are terrorists in Be'eri. Be'eri, it's kibbutz 15 minutes from Nir Oz. We enter to Ynet, and we saw an article. Terrorists are slaughtering us, and the army doesn't come. I saw this article, and I was very scared. I didn't know what to think. After 2 minutes, another message. Sasha looked at the phone and turned it around. And I knew what the message, but I didn't want to believe. So I asked him, Sasha, what the message? And he told me, no matter what, just be quiet. I took a blanket. I put it over myself like this. I didn't want to see anything. And we just lying down under the bed because there is no place to hide. After I heard Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, maybe hundreds of terrorists enter to the kibbutz, and I heard things explode, and the screaming, the terrorists screaming, and the people that killed by the savages screaming. And it's heard like they go home by home and shooting everything, everyone. And you just wait to your turn. In that moment, I understood the meaning of my prayer. And I was terrified. I was shaking. All my body was water. But I say the prayer again and again. And when I say it, I felt something deep, deep inside of me. I felt peace. And I say, how can I feel peace in this situation? I heard the terrorists come close and close to us. And what they did outside, it was a very big chaos. And finally, they go to our house. They show the door. They broke it. They get inside. They just took everything and broke everything. And then I heard my boyfriend scream. They took me from the blanket and took us separately. When I go outside, I saw my boyfriend with the knees on the floor, with the hands over his head, bleeding face. They beat him. When I saw him, it seems like the end. But I say, God, it can't be. It just can't be the end. They put me on bike with two terrorists, and we go to Gaza. When I came inside Gaza, I saw maybe thousands of people, thousands of innocent civilians in the street. They are all encouraged the terrorists. They are all come to touch me and to beat me. And they beat me so strong that I put the hands over my hand and I'm saying, God, I don't want to die here. But finally, the two terrorists saved me, because the main goal is in most of the cases is to take you alive. In Gaza, I was 1 month in houses, 1 month in tunnels, in hard conditions. But every day I felt miracles. I think that one of the biggest miracles that I felt is that I understood that I supposed to be there. I was with another hostage, a young girl, 16 years old. I met her on the first day. When I saw her, she was crying, she was terrified. And I saw her and say, God, this is enough for me to understand that I need to be here. I want to keep this girl. I want to make her happy. From the moment that I decided to take this responsibility, I felt so powerful. And I could make every bad thing to funny thing. And this girl, she doesn't understand, how can I do that? And even the terrorist didn't understand, how can I be happy in this situation? One day, one of them drew a memorial candle and he wrote my name on this candle. And I was very angry. And I'm saying, why? Why you wrote my name? And he told me, I don't love you. You're my enemy. I hate you. But when you are here in this place, all this place is lighting. And I'll say, what? I can't believe that I heard it from a terrorist. And every day I said three things. The first is my prayer. The second is, thank you, God, that you sent me to this place, because I feel all the power that you gave me and I know how to use it to keep myself and to keep the other hostages. And the last thing is, thank you, God, about all the angels that you sent me to this hell. When I came back to Israel and I saw how many people prayed for me in Israel, in all the world, how many people decided to be more good people because they understand that this thing will bring me back. I understood that all the angels that I felt, they are not imaginary. Unfortunately, there are many hostages there that don't feel these angels. I saw some groups of hostages that get for drink salt water that destroyed their body, that get for eat just one pita every day. Some of them have very serious illnesses. Some of them are injured because these savages beat them or shot them. These hostages, they don't get the appropriate treatment, they don't get the appropriate medicine. In my first day, I saw another hostage, an old man, 85 years old. The terrorist beat him so strong that after a few days he died. The hostages think every day about their families. They don't even know who's still alive and who dead. And these thoughts kill them every day more and more. My boyfriend is still there. All his family kidnapped or killed. The hostages don't have time, and we need to do everything, but everything, to bring them home now and alive. Thank you.
Welcoming this beautiful woman into your vibrant community. Sapir, do you remember if someone was asking if you remember the which capital of Sihilim it was? Which, what?
Kafzain.
27. First of all, thank you for your courage. We're deeply honored to be here, to have the opportunity to witness what courage looks like. And we're really blown away. Thank you for giving us inspiration. We looked up your name, Sapir. Sapir means sapphire in Hebrew. And sapphire is a precious stone. And it's referenced several times in the Torah. And it's mentioned as a symbol of strength and of beauty, which makes a lot of sense. And we want to know where or who you draw your strength from. Where does it come from?
In the first 2 weeks that I was in the captivity, my parents didn't know if I kidnapped or killed. And my mother invited every day 15 women to my parents' home to Torah lessons for 3 hours every day. And when they came to my parents' house, they were crying. So my mother put a music and say, I don't want you to cry. I want you to be happy and to dance. And I want to take just positive energy and send it to my daughter. So I believe it's from my parents.
You know, it says a beautiful eyes are the sign of a beautiful heart, and you have beautiful eyes, and there's nothing like a beautiful smile. And we remember when you were released, after all those weeks being captive in Gaza, the first thing we saw is that you were smiling. And we wanted to ask you, what was going on in your thoughts and your emotions? What was going on for you behind that smile? What made you smile?
First of all, I came back from the captivity to Israel, so it's a good reason to be happy. But second, I knew that many people will talk about my smile, and it was very important to me to show them that even if you are in very difficult and bad conditions, in situations, you can choose to be happy.
Let's say, that's a beautiful message, because if you can choose happiness, having been through the worst of times, then I think everyone here in this room has no choice but to be the same. And in this month of Adar, we are morally obligated. We have a commandment to experience joy and to be happy and to be besimcha. And it's no coincidence that we're here in the month of Adar, and we have a beautiful and courageous reminder that joy is absolutely necessary in order to fulfill our mission here in this world and spread the light of Torah and Judaism. I mean, with everything that you've been through, I can't imagine what it must be like to now go on a mission to travel the world and speak to these big communities about your experience over and over again, to have to relive
the trauma. Could you tell us how do you do it? How do you build the emotional and the physical strength? Rivka and I came here this morning, Rivka from New York, I came from Miami, and we're tired and we're listening to you and thinking, oh my goodness, she's traveling the world. She came from Israel. Orit came from Israel as well. And it's truly incredible. I don't know if there's something in the air in Israel that gives you just this boost of energy and strength that we just maybe don't have here in the United States, but could you tell us how you do it?
Yes, it's very, very important for me to tell this story, not just in Israel, but in many countries, because I want that all the Jewish people will feel connected and will feel the same feelings that we felt in that day. In my journey,
You're doing good. You're doing more than good.
In my journey,
I couldn't do what you do in Ivrit.
I meet many, many good people, like this Rebbe Pinchas, like his wife, like Janet, that host me and my brother. And these people make me very positive and give me all the power that I need to continue.
You know, thank you. We met your brother. I understand, because we met your brother. He's very special. And he was sharing with me how hard it was while he didn't know where you were. I can't imagine what that was like for him. But also just to hear from you, because as we were davening and praying for you, I wonder if you feel this, if you know that we're all praying for you. But it's so powerful to hear from you that you felt something, from so far away. We were all the way in the United States, and that shows the power of the soul, that we could be far away, but when we're in line with Hashem's will and praying, we're all connected and we feel it. And I wanted to ask you, because we read that since your experience in Gaza, you took on to keep Shabbat. And Ida and I have been keeping Shabbat our whole lives. And it is very special for us. It is amazing, actually, that you can live your whole life and somehow Friday comes and it's so exciting and meaningful to light the Shabbat candles. It's like we're in a dark room and you turn on the light. It's not that anything changed in the room, but you're seeing what's already there, the soul within you and the gratefulness you have for the people around you, and to ask Hashem for more. And we wanted to know what inspired you to keep Shabbat and how is that for you?
When the terrorist broke our door and said, God, I will save Shabbat, I will save Shabbat, I will save Shabbat. So I promise I have to do it.
that was the first thing that came to your mind, Shabbat?
Yes, yes. I don't know why.
That was a good choice.
And now in Shabbat, I put everything on the side. And it makes me to feel free, and I feel peace in my body and in my mind. So this peace gives me a lot of energy to start a new week.
Wow. It's actually Jonathan Sacks. It's Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks. It's one of his quotes where he says, Shabbat is freedom. And then you were a captive and you keep Shabbat and it makes you feel free. And it's so interesting because Shabbat has so many laws that we keep. At the same time, you are the one that can tell us that it represents freedom, because you know what it's like not to be free. And then for you to keep Shabbat and feel free is very empowering and uplifting. And it speaks for Shabbat. It speaks for our day of rest.
You know, what's beautiful is you said that you found the words of Tehillim and they saved you. And I can't help but think of the verse, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death and I fear no evil because Hashem is with me, because God is with me. And God was with you and you felt the presence of God and you felt the presence of all the people who are praying for you. So now with this, you know, with this newfound dedication now to Shabbat, to having God on your side, what is your hope for the future? What do you hope for?
There is something very special that I want to share with you. In one of the tunnels that I was, the terrorist called me to watch TV. And when I watched TV, I saw the demonstration in Tel Aviv. So one of the terrorists said, "Look, when all the Jewish like this together, they are very, very strong. This is words of terrorists. And this is my hope, that one day all the Jewish will be together and not like before the October 7.
This next portion of the interview was done the day after the one you just heard at the Seoul Gala and Conference, and this was for a different audience. So you might hear some similar things from the night before. However, she shares a lot of new insight, which is why we decided to put this one out as well. And some of the answers she was more comfortable sharing in Hebrew. And so we had someone translate for us, actually Rabbi Pinchas Alush, who speaks several languages, was able to translate what she had said into English so that we could all understand it. We apologize if the audio is not as crisp and clear as the initial interview. We hope that you enjoy it nonetheless. And here it is.
Sapir, we interviewed Sapir last night as well for all of you who missed out. So we hope to be able to share everything with you today as well. And just to add to the word Sapir, Ida and I were looking up the meaning of your name. That also means strength and beauty. And behind the scenes last night, I was talking to your brother Sapir, and he was telling me how while Sapir was captive, they knew that she was going to be okay because some of the people that were released said, Sapir helped me while I was there. And this shows a sort of strength in Sapir that she was able to be kind to others when she was going through her own hard time. And that is inspiring to me and no doubt to all of us. And thank you for the inspiration and being kind to others, because we all go through our times where we're in pain and we tell ourselves, well, I'm in pain right now. I can't be there for anybody else. But Sapir took this as her mission in her darkest to bring light to others and help them. And I wanted to go back to before October 7th with you and share with us this feeling that you had, this uneasy feeling.
It's May. It's now October 7th. בין חצי שנה לפני כן הרגשתי שמשהו מאוד רע עומד לקרות לי. ובעצם לא ידעתי למה אני מרגישה ככה, כי לא הייתה שום סיבה. אבל התחושות היו כל כך רעות, שבאיזשהו שום הייתי בטוחה שאני חולה באיזו מחלה סופנית. והחלטתי ללכת להרבה מאוד רופאים ולעשות הרבה מאוד בדיקות. ובעצם אחד הרופאים גילה שיש לי איזשהו נגיף בגוף, והייתי בטוחה שהנה, מצאתי את הבעיה בגלל זה תחושה רע.
So the 30 days, for many days before October 7th, she had this lingering feeling that she has an illness, and she went to many, many doctors to see what was wrong with her. And one doctor said, you have a virus. And she thought, oh, maybe that's what I was feeling this whole time.
But this doctor told me,
oh, good, you need me, Sapir, good.
It's not perfect.
You're perfect, so it doesn't matter.
This doctor told me, yes, you have a virus in your body, but this virus is not dangerous as you're feeling. And I didn't believe it because I felt very strong feelings, very bad. Like maybe I dying tomorrow, maybe I would die in a week. And this is why I started to pray for the first time in my life, because I felt that just God can help me.
the intuition that you experienced, that you felt. Do you feel it today? Let me talk more about that, that feeling of intuition and saying you were also, it was discussed that sign.
Intuition about what?
It's fish. Well, they say like trust your intuition. You know, trust your gut and feel like that you may have spirit power.
When you are in captivity, you at the כל זמן מתבקש עם עצמך, האם אתה מאמין באלוהים או לא? כי יש רגעים שאתה מאוד פוחד, ואתה אומר, רגע אלוהים, אתה באמת תציל אותי, אני באמת יכולה לסמוך עד כשאתה עושה את זה. והרגשתי כל הזמן שאני יושמת עם עצמי, עד שהצלחתי להאמין בכל הלן, ואחת הייתה לי הקנה כזאת, ופשוט הייתי אופטימית לאוף כל הדרך.
So when you're in captivity at first, you're doubting your own faith, and you ask yourself, is God with me? Are you there already? Or are you not? And she was fluctuating between those two feelings time and time again until she decided, yes, God is with me, and I am fully, fully devoted to him, and I know that I'll get through this.
Well, and just take us back, fellas. You had this uneasy feeling, and the doctor said to you, it's more your emotions than your actual physical illness. And then what happened? What happened after? Yeah.
I decided to pray, and I was looking for a prayer for complete recovery. So one day I saw prayer. It was a chapter in Tehillim, and they wrote there that if you waited for 30 days, you would be healthy and miracles would happen to you. So I say, okay, it's perfect. I want to pray this. And for that day, I say this prayer. It's a 27 in Tehillim, L'David Hashem, and even the word Hamas is appeared in the chapter. And the enemy, and war, and all the things that happened to me on 7 October. So, in 7 October, I said that God sent me this prayer, and it gave me a lot of power, because I knew that it can be the end.
So on October 7, where were you and what happened?
I planned to go to the kibbutz near us with my boyfriend Sasha to visit his parents. We celebrate in Katowa. And in this weekend, Sasha doesn't want to come. And I'm saying, Sasha, why not to come? Because on time you told me, when you say to your parents that you probably never cancel, because after your mother cried. But in this weekend, we say, I don't want to go. I don't know why. I don't want to cancel. Unfortunately, I convinced him. And we arrived to the kibbutz. And in the middle of our way, we saw a soldier. Chayal Bobem.
Real tall.
Sasha talk with this soldier about the situation in our population.
Sasha was speaking to this little soldier about the divide. I'm used to the thought. No way. About the divide in the nation before October
7th.
And Sasha said, only a war can heal our nation.
And the day after, it's done.
God is sovereign.
Can you share your experience, however you're comfortable, in captivity while you're in captivity?
Wow, well, you have many stories. אז אני אציל, אוקיי, מהשכלה.
בהתחלה כל הזמן חשבתי, רבתי מחשבות בראש, איך הייתי יכולה להימנע מהמצב הזה. אם הייתי נתחבה למקום אחר, אם הייתי מקשיבה לסשה ופשוט לא מגיעה לקיבוץ, ופשוט רצה בסרטים בראש, אמרתי למה, למה אני פה?
So, at the very beginning of captivity, all these thoughts flooded the mind of what is? What if I would have hit it somewhere else? What if I had listened to Sasha and not God and near Oz on Zidkat Torah? What if this and what if that?
והפקס הסלטתי שמספיק, אני חייבת לשים את המחשבות בצד, כי אם אני בן אדם מאמין, אז אני חייבת להבין שיש סיבה לזה שאני נמצאת שם. והייתה איתי בחורה מאוד צעירה, מאוד מפוחדת, שפסתה אדבק. היה איתי עוד גבר שנכנס לדיכאון, וכשהסתכנתי עליהם, אמרתי, אוקיי, מצאתי כבר סיבה מספיק טובה לרמה אני נמצאת פה.
And then I said to myself, if I'm a person of faith, I have to put all of these questions aside. She put all these questions, Sapir says, and she decided there must be a reason for which God sent me to this lay. That she met a woman who was crying unstoppably, and she met a man, another hostage, who fell into depression. And she took it upon herself to be their healer, since this was...
And that is unbelievable, because this is... We've been talking about this throughout last night and throughout today is how do we find our vision? And you really took your Adonai and Hashem, your faith in Hashem, and you, through the darkest of places, you decided this is your mission and you were there to help others.
כן, אני באותו רגע שהחלטתי לא רק... לחשוב איך הגעתי למצב הזה, ולא רק לדאוג לעצמי, איך לעשות לעצמי טוב, ואיך הייתי נמנעת מלהגיע משם. באותו רגע שהחלטתי, פשוט לקחת את התפקיד להפוך אנשים אחרים לשמחים, רגשתי שיש לי כוחות שבחיים לא חוויתי דבר כזה, יש לי ביטחון במקום הכי נורא שיש.
And at the moment, I decided, or I'm just going to translate, because I'm not going to speak about the third language, but the moment I decided to assume this role of being that healer, of being that agent of God in this dark place, I received strengths that I did not even know I had.
אני זוכרת שהיו ימים שאני גם בחורה היינו מאוד רעבות, והיא אמרה לי, ספיר, מה עושים עכשיו? אני רוצה לנכון. ואף אחד לא רוצה לתת לי אופן. אז עברתי לה, אין שום בעיה. אנחנו עכשיו יוצאות למשימה. מצאתי סדר שהמחבלים החזיקו בו פיתות. וראיתי שבשעות מסוימות אין שם מחבלים. אמרתי לה, תקשיבי, עכשיו מה שומר? אני הולכת, חוטפת פידה, שמה מתחת לחולצה. אנחנו רוצות לחדר שם. אנחנו עוברות וייר וייר וייר. אם המחבלים מגיעים, את מספיעה מהפיתן ואת עושה מתיחות. ואז הם היו מגיעים לסדר הזה ושואלים, מה זה, מה אתם עושים? אז זה שם, הפיתן דרך לחוצה, אמרתי, אנחנו עושות ספורט עכשיו. ואז ראיתי אותה, עומדת למות עם צחוק עם הפיתן, בתור אופן, ואני עושה לה, לא, לא, אולי גם אחת, חיכי. ואמרתי, איזה כיף שצריך להפור מצב טרגי כזה שבפועל כאילו אנחנו מתות מרעה ואנחנו מצליחות לזכור.
So during one of those days, one of the fellow hostages came to her and started crying and she said to Sapir, I don't have food to eat. We don't have food to eat. What are we going to do? And Sapir said, you know what? Let's turn this into a tough that we have. There is a room where the terrorists keep one of the pitas. I noticed that they don't always watch this room. So you'll be my guard as soon as they're not watching the room. I'll sneak in, steal a pita. I'll come right back to you. We'll go to another room, eat the pita very quickly. And if the terrorists come back and find us eating pita, just throw the pita under your shirt and start the exercise as if you're just stretching. And that's what happened. The terrorists came as they were eating the pita that they took, that they deserve, not stole, that they deserve. The terrorists came in, and they have a friend, who she now was able to cheer up, had that piece of that pita in her mouth, and she wanted her to laugh, and if she had laughed, the pita would have been revealed. So she tells him, you can't laugh like this. You ain't gonna control your laughter. And the terrorist is asking, what do you guys think? She says, no, we're just exercising. We're just stretching. And they also were able to hide the rest of the pita in the shirt. And that's how she was able to turn such a tragic moment into a moment of laughter that lifted the soul of a hostage.
היה עוד רגע שאני זוכרת שרצו להוביל אותנו למנהרון. והבחורה שהייתי איתה מאוד פחדה והתחילה לזכות. ואמרתי לה, תקשיבי, אם כבר אנחנו נעזרות באסן, לא נראה לבקר באטרקטיום מספר אחת. והיא אמרה לי, וואלה ספיר, את צודקת. ואז ירדו למנהרות, אנחנו הכל חשוך, וגם בגור הסריח עם פנס קטן, ואני ככה חייפתי וקצת החנקתי, ואז עוד שסעד המחברים אמר לי, את יודעת, כשירדנו במנהרות, זה בוכה, זה מפחד, אז הוא מצביע עליי, ואת מסתכלת ואומרת, וואו, איזה יופי. הוא עושה לי, למה את הפי הפי כל היום? אמרתי לו, מה זאת אומרת, למה? אני פה בעד.
So she said that when they took him down to the tunnels, one of the fellow hostages began to cry. And she said, we go down to the tunnels, this is terrible. And Sapir tried to always lighten the mood, says to this hostage, what are you talking about? We're going to the number one attraction in Israel, right? That was quite cool. And they go down to the tunnel. And then even the terrorists didn't understand what was happening because they tell Sapir, we don't understand. This one is afraid. This one is crying. And you're happy, happy all the time. And she says, Mama, I'm coming.
She said, but it's a lovely, lovely, happy, happy call of mine.
That's right. She says, what do you mean? Because I'm visiting Gaza. That's why.
Well, we should visit Gaza where very important what was. How past you, where is this hostage now that you were placing?
And they do, and then it came back to Israel in a very good situation. And the man still dead.
And I don't know the full story, but I see that you empowered her and helped her to come back home. I'm sure you do. You feel that way?
אני שאלתי, אבל בזכותך היא הצליחה, זה נכון, צו זו?
כן, היא כל הזמן אמרה לי תודה רבה, שהיא לא יודעת מה הייתה עושה.
לא הייתי שם.
Says it's true. Because this hostage who was now released is thanking her all the time and telling her that she doesn't know what she would have done.
Do you know that I think it's the Baal Shem Tov that says that for 70, we come down into this world and it could even take up to 70 years. We come down here to just do a favor for one other Jew. And you have done this, you did this favor to this hostage when you were a hostage yourself. That's really so inspiring.
Can you talk about your interactions or relationship with the people who were holding you hostage? What was the hype with that?
היה מסבר אחד שהוא הרגיש שהוא השליח שלהם והוא בא להפיץ את האסלאם בעולם. והוא עשה לי ככה ביהו פוטנציאל, ואמר, אולי אתי מוסלמי. אז אמרתי לו, מוסלם זה דבר טוב? אז הוא אמר לי, כן, זה חלק הריקוד. אמרתי לו, אתה יודע מה? אז בוא תגיד לי מה יש בקוראן. לדוגמה, מה כתוב על השבועים? אז הוא אמר, כתוב, דבר מאוד טוב, לדוגמה, אם אני אוכל, גם השבוע אוכל. אמרתי, מסויית, בדיוק מה שרציתי לשמוע. יום הסלם, ואני רואה אותו אוכל, ואני לא מקבלת כלום. היא אומרת לו, תגיד, למה כאן אתה עושה מה אני לא? בקוראן זה לא ככה. אז הוא אמר לי, לא, זה עבדתי, הוא קורא, זה קש כאן. אז הורנתי לו טוב, אז אני לא רוצה להיות מוסלם. לא היה מכאן, זה ככה היה מכאן כאן, ואלסתי. ואז הוא אמר לי, לא. אלס תביא לנו פיתה.
Because she said that regarding the relationship she had with the terrorist, one of the terrorists saw himself as a missionary to convert other people to Islam. And he apparently saw some potential in Sapir, as she said, that and he started teaching about the about Islam. And Sapir took that opportunity to ask this terrorist, so tell me, what does Islam, what does your Quran say about how to treat the captives? And the man said, the terrorist says, well, actually, you'll be happy about this because it says that we should treat the captives equally. If I'm needy, you should be too. She said, oh, I like that.
Then
the next day, she saw him eating, but she wasn't eating. So she called him to the task and said, excuse me, didn't you tell me yesterday that if you're eating, I should be eating too? He said, no, it's not really like that.
No, I don't know.
So she said, okay, now I don't want to be a Muslim anymore. Somebody goes back to her and says, you know what? Fine. I'll get you some food and you got to stop.
You don't know how a terrorist is going to react to have the courage to just say what you're thinking.
She wouldn't have said that to every terrorist. This would be a positive man. Buddha speak to.
והבאתי שהמחבל הזה הוא מאוד שונה מהמחבלים האחרים. הוא היה חסר ביטחון. הוא כל הזמן חיפש שיכבדו אותו ויקשיבו לו ויקרו לו סבלנות. והמחבלים האחרים לא אהמפו אותו. והרגשו ציפותי לתת לו את כל מה שהוא...
She noticed, and that's how wise you are, just appear. She noticed that this particular terrorist was very, very insecure. That he didn't get along with the other terrorists, and therefore she prayed on him to ensure that she makes the best out of the situation.
So you're like a strategist. Did you feel like every day you were strategizing?
זהו, אז בהתחלה הייתי סופרת את הימים, ככה במאוק ניקיתי לצאת משם כבר, ואחר כך פתאום אמרתי, וואי, יש לי פה הזדמנות. כאילו, אלוהים נתן לי הזדמנות לראות את האויבי מספר אחת שאני להבין איך הם חושבים, לראות מה הם בדלו כל הזמן הזה. ואמרתי לכולם, חבר'ה, בואו ננצל פה כל רגע, יהיו כמה שזה נשמע מוזר.
She said at the very beginning, another goal that she set for herself was not just to heal and better the people around her, but also to try and understand the terrorists. She said, finally, God gave me this opportunity to understand these terrorists that we are dealing with all the time. I want to understand their mind. I want to understand how they think. And that's what she was able to do throughout the period.
What is your conclusion about the terrorists?
Every day, they say, we will come back again and again and again. And the next time, they'll feel we are going to them.
That she, every day they'll come back again and again. I hope you understood that.
Yeah.
But that the next time, or next October 7th, God forbid it shall never happen, it will be much more. That's what they kept telling.
This is what we're dealing with.
All the time, my brother, I was in the same place, and אמר לי, או, אני מדברת בצורה מאוד ברורה, אז כשאת מגיעה לישראל, אני רוצה שתעביר לי שני מסרים. דבר אחד, שהאסלאם זה טוב, ודבר שני, זה שאנחנו הולכים להגיע שוב ושוב ושוב, ולעשות את אותו הדבר. וחשבתי לעצמי, רגע, מה הקשר בין אחד לשתיים?
She said that at the beginning, also she met one of the highest ranking Hamas leaders. By the way, I will tell you off the record, she also seen one member and asked if she was a soldier. That's on the side. She didn't say that now, but we spoke about this. But another senior leader of the Hamas said, you might go back to Israel. I want you to share with the world two things. That one, Islam is a good religion. And two, that we're going to come back again and again to attack the Israelis the next time it's going to be worse. And she asked herself, how does number one and number two, the man, how can they get along with each other? Islam is good. How can you say number two?
Can you tell us this experience with someone?
זה היה משהו מאוד קצר, האמת שלא ידעתי לפלט מזה, מבחינתי זה היה עוד מסבן, ופשוט תגיע ושאל אותי אם אני חיילת. באופן מאוד מוזר, כאילו אני כל הזמן הנגשתי שם ביטחון, אבל ברגע שהוא שאל אותי, היה לי קשה לענות, פשוט הדמתי ולא אמרתי. לא עמדתי כלום, לקחתי לי הרבה זמן עד שעושתי את התשובה. וכשכוונתי לארץ, הבנתי מי זה המפלטת הזו, ואמרתי, מעניין, אולי הייתה לי תחושה שהוא עד כדי כך חדש, שפשוט לא יכולתי לענות.
So that when she met Sinwar, she always had a sense of security. But when she met Sinwar, the sense of security for some reason disappeared. And then he asked her, are you a soldier? And because she was so shaken just by that meeting without knowing who he was, she only discovered who he was when she came out. It took her a long time to answer that question. And then she went back, she answered the question saying no. And then she went back and found out who this man, this monster was, to put it in her words. And she understood that it was, again, her intuition speaking.
When you ask a question, you know, how could you be, you know, how could you say that Islam is good and that October 7th will be worse? Did he respond? Did he say anything?
She shot the shit, and I shot the door. And the door shot the glass neck. And she only asked that question to herself.
I know. Could you share moments where your faith was tested and a moment at a miracle? So faith tested and miracle.
Then we'll not shut out. I'm going to call it out. Down you are. I think I didn't want. No, this is a miracle. You do it out. You still know what. What would that about? That happened. Matthias is just a little.
היו ימים שהייתי צריכה לאסוף שאריות של אוכל מהלבן, והיו לילות שישבנו עם שני מקבלים שהסתכלו עלינו כל הלילה ועשו תנועות מגונות עם הידיים כאילו הם הולכים לאסוף לנו משהו יותר בפורן. היו ימים שהייתי צריכה להסביא אוכל מטסטוף לניזרון מלא בעובש, ואלה היו זמנים קשים.
There were tough times where when she was off to sleep on the floor, where terrorists would make these very improper, to say the least, improper gestures, that they were going to do something to her and to her a female friend. The days in which she had to hide just a very little bit of pita crumbs behind under the mattress. It were very difficult days.
הניסים שקרו לי זה שהצלחתי קודם כל להיות אופטימית גם במצבים קשים. והצלחתי להגיע לקשר מסוים עם שניים מהמחבלים, שהקשר הזה עזר מאוד לחטופים שהיו איתי ולחטופים שהיו בקבוצות אחרות, כמו אמא של הבן זוג שלי. הצלחתי להעביר אליהם בגדים, הם לא קיבלו שם בגדים, הם לא קיבלו סבונים, והצלחתי דוג שזה יגיע אליהם.
First of all, the miracles I experienced was that I was able to maintain my optimism in the face of this terrible circumstance. And number two, she was able to develop some type of relationship with two of the terrorists that were supervising her, to the point that she was able to convince them to pass on some soaps, mama, sabonit, mom, iron
clothes
to other groups of hostages, hopefully including the groups of hostages where her boyfriend is in, thanks to that relationship that she was able.
Well, that is unbelievable to let go of fear and be able to push past that and somehow extract from the terrorists to do something for you and the hostages. What do you think, what was it that allowed you to let go of the fear? Do you feel like this is something that you learned from people before you, or is this something strength, like you said, Hashem gave you within you? If someone wants to tap into this place of pushing past the fear and helping somebody else or doing something that nobody else has done, what would you tell them?
As it's last in Cabello, Baja, Sinutatskina, and we should COVID Baja, Mike America.
I went to בכל מקום שאני נמצאת, שיש איזשהו אתגר קשה, לדוגמה פרירותים, הקשבתי ללמוד הנדסת תוכנה לפני כמה שנים, מקצוע שאין לי שום קשר אליו, ואמרתי, אלוהים, בבקשה, תיתן לי את הכל שאני אצליח, ואם אני אצליח, כאילו אם יהיה לי את הכל, אני מבטיחה שאני אעזור לכל האחרים. והרגשתי שקיבלתי את הכוח, מכל הזמן עזנתי לכולם, למרות שהיו רגעים ככה מאוד קשים, והייתי לחוצן, ובסוף הגעתי להיות מצטיינת נשיא בלי שום כישרון. אותו הדבר באשר ירדתי אלוהים בבקשה, תיתן לי את הכוח, תיתן לי את הביטחון, ואני אעזור פה לכל מי שאני יכולן. ואני חושבת שזה פשוט ביטחון שקיבלתי מאלוהים באותו רגע, כי לפני השבוע באוקטובר הייתי מאוד פסדרית, אני לא זוכרת שהייתי כך.
So how did she overcome fear? It was suddenly her faith in Hashem, but it wasn't faith that came empty. It was a faith that came with a promise that she made to God. And that promise was, if you help me get through this, I promise you, I will take everything that I had and help the people around me. She gave us an example of her studies. She went to study software engineering. And at first, she did not know exactly if she was going to excel or not. But she said to God, if you help me, I promise you, I'll take my talent and share it with the world. And she became what's called an Istayana Nasi, the president's best engineer. That's the award she received. By the way, we have jobs. No, no, the God, my second evil. Please up here, consider them. But that's how she was able to get through that battle. And that's what kept her also strong. 3 days of taboo.
Normally, when someone goes through something tragic and horrible, it's like the world changes. You know, it's not the same one that they were in before. You know, it becomes like an ugly world and it becomes a scary world. How is your perspective? How is the way you see the world changed from before October 7th compared to now?
Well, כשהגעתי לארץ ראיתי שכל העם שלי מגובש פתאום, ולפני כן פשוט היו קרעים בעם, היו מלחמות בתוכם, הגענו למלחמת הסין, זה היה מצב קטסטרופלי, כשחזרתי כולם היו מאוחדים, וכולם היו כל כך נדיבים, ורצו לתרום ולעזור, והרמתי להם וואו, כאילו איך יש לכם כזו מוטיבציה לתרום כל כך הרבה? אז הם אמרו לי, מה זאת אומרת? כל אחד שיש לו משהו, חייב לתת. וזה היה מדהים בעיניי לפתוח העניין.
One of the big differences was what she noticed happened to our nation. That is that when she came back from captivity, she realized that we were all so united. And she once asked someone, why? Well, what is this all about? We weren't like this before, filled with savage. And the man said, what do you mean? That there's something to give, should give that something. And that inspired her very much, and suddenly it showed the true face of our nation.
Wow, it's very interesting to hear the perspective of us, because we were here, and we know what happened on October 7th, and it kind of like flowed, then everyone became united. But for you, you didn't see the process along the way, and you would come out and see this big, big difference in our nation. It must have been very, very like a wow moment for you. At the same time, you felt that we were praying for you. You had shared that you felt our prayers while you were there. What was that like for you to feel us praying for you? Because we wondered if you could feel.
Man, Sadie.
אז כשהייתי בשבי, כל הזמן שאלתי את עצמי, מאיפה הקוקות האלה? איך אני כל כך אופטימית? איך אני יכולה להפוך כל דבר למשהו מצחיק? ואני אפילו זוכרת אחרי את המחבלים בתוך הצחוקים האלה. דאמתי, אני לא אנסה כל זאת, אני אתפלד רק פעם אחת ביום. וכשחזבתי וראיתי באמת כמה אנשים התפללו בשבילי, אבל לא רק התפללו, זאת אומרת, כל אחד בדרך שלו, היו הרבה אנשים שהחליטו להיות טובים יותר ולתרום, והם עשו את כל זה כי הם הבינו שזה מה שיחזיר אותי. ואז הבנתי מאיפה האנרגיות שהיו לי.
Said that she was asking herself all the time through her captivity, where did these strengths come? How am I keeping so confident and strong? And then she came out of captivity and everyone was telling her, I pray for you and I pray for you. And she said, oh, now I understand where my strengths came from. Where you were. Any more?
One line after. What would you say we can do here today for the people who are still at Gaza?
אני חושבת ששבר באוקטובר לא קרה סתם, כי אני בן אדם מאמין, אז לכל דבר יש סיבה. והסיבה שאני רואה זה הקרע הגדול שהיה בעם. ובגלל זה אני חושבת שמה שאפשר לעשות זה פשוט להיות מאוחדים, וכל אחד צריך לתרום בדרך שלו. זאת אומרת, יש אנשים שבוחרים להתפלל, יש כאלה שבוחרים לתרום, או להילחם בדרכים אחרות להחזרת החטופים. מה שחשוב,
I'm a person of faith, and I believe that everything happened for a reason. And maybe what happened on October 7th is because we were so divided. So if we want to ensure these hostages come back home, and that this never happens again, we have to be dedicated to unity. Not just in heart, but in action. Let us try and find someone to reach out to that needs help. Let's try and repair a broken relationship. Let's do that mitzvah. Let's make sure that we spread as much goodness and kindness among us and in our world. And like this, we'll also ensure that this will never happen again.
Okay, I know we have 3 minutes left. So I promise that we'll take 2 questions from the crowd. But it better be questions. I don't want any statements. And I don't want any comments, or whatever it is, you're not just talk. So just questions. Let's go, Dusty.
Do each of the Hamas treat their captives differently? Are they either thinking from a certain way, or do each one have whatever they want to do with the hostage thing?
בכל קבוצה מטפלים בצורה שונה לגמרי. יש קבוצות שמקבלות לדוגמה פינטה אפץ ביום, ששותים מים מנופים. יש קבוצות אחרות שנותנים להם קצת יותר מזה. יש קבוצות שלא מתקלחים בכלל, יש כאלה שמתקלחים פעם בשבוע. זה מאוד משתנה.
So every group of terrorists treats every group of hostages differently. Some allow them to take a shower once a week, some not at all. Some give them one pinta a day, some give them nothing at all. So it depends on the group of terrorists. Okay, one last question. Question.
Thank you all. That was amazing. When you spoke to the terrorists, you spoke Hebrew, I assume. How is their Hebrew?
יש להם עוצר פינגלין מאוד קטן בעברית. הם מדברים קצת עברית, קצת אנגלית, ובעיקר הרבה פנטומימה.
So their Hebrew is very limited. They speak a little bit of Hebrew, a little bit of English, and a lot of פנטומימה. קוראים את זה? Thank you. All right, let's give Sakir B. Rock a round of applause. Thank you for coming up.
Thank you.